Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Greg is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Porpoise Pod with your hosts, Brendan Tobin and Alejandro Solano.
Welcome on in, everybody, to another edition of the Porpoise Pod. Brendan Tobin here alongside my co-host, Alejandro Solano, who is, as I like to say, boots on the ground. What's going on, Solano? How are you, man?
Boots on the ground in a cold-ass Cincinnati. Tobin, I didn't even check the weather. Like, I just jumped on a plane all willy-nilly ready for summer, and I'm like, holy bleep, it's not 80 degrees in the rest of the country. I forgot.
So, like, what is the weather there? What is it? Is it, like, sweater weather? Like, what are we going? Like, are the Dolphins going into harsh conditions tomorrow?
No, I think I saw kickoff. It's going to be around, like, 50, 55.
That's pretty cold for Tua.
It's cold, man. Like, I got off the plane, and I'm wearing slacks and like, a little windbreaker or whatever, but it's kind of cold.
A little brisk. It's hell down here. It's so hot. I mean, right now we're dodging tornadoes. Like, last night I had like 4 tornado warnings hit my phone. I was like, oh my God. And I saw like what happened through Del Rey, which is like 2 towns south of me. They got wrecked by a tornado, and this isn't even supposed to be the hurricane yet. So it's a little wild down here. So you're better off up there in the, what the hell do they call this? Is it Queen City? Is that what they call it?
I don't even know. Look, anytime I'm in Ohio, you know, I try not to familiarize myself too much, because let's be honest, Tobin, I mean, what, they got chili up here? That's what they're offering us here in Cincinnati, Skyline Chili, which, by the way, I've had. Just disgusting. There's really cinnamon in the chili. It's like poured over a bed of noodles that are undercooked, and then there's so much, like, I don't even know, like, water in the chili, that then there's just like a bowl of water that's just souping underneath the spaghetti. Skyline Chili sucks. Pollo Tropical, way better. Flanagan's, way better. La Carreta, better. Anything you want to put, any establishment from South Florida, way better. I can't wait to get this 4th dub. Get the hell out of this city, Tobin. I'm in Ohio and I'm uneasy.
I understand. Ohio sucks, dude. You don't have to sell me on that. It is apparently the Queen City. Okay. If you Google nickname for Cincinnati, they go by Cincy, the Natty, the Queen City, the Queen of the West, the Blue Chip City, and the City of Seven Hills.
All right. I like to call it garbage.
I like to call it basically Kentucky.
Yeah. So you actually fly into, I didn't know this, you fly into Kentucky to get to Cincinnati. Then you drive over the Kentucky-Ohio border. So you're basically in Kentucky extended.
Sounds like there was like, you know, there was maybe like a quarrel one day between Ohio and Cincinnati, and just to like compromise. It's like, listen, we'll give you Cincinnati. And Kentucky's like, all right, you guys can have it. It's fine.
Whatever.
That's all good. But okay. So like, what is like, did this hurricane affect the Dolphins at all in any way? Because I know that they're still trying to figure out what was going on with the Bucs. I saw that Darlington reported today that it's unlikely that Hard Rock is going to be a replacement location for them. So, I mean, good luck. I don't know what they're going to do. But does this affect part? Because this is a weird week. You know, Thursday Night Football is always strange. This has been a quick turnaround. They're not really practicing. They're kind of doing walkthroughs and things like that. So does this affect the team in any way, you think?
I don't think so. I mean, yeah, they're not practicing, right? And these short weeks, Tobin, how much are they really gaining from walkthroughs? I'm not downplaying the importance of them, but, you know, they just didn't meet in the morning. I'm in Cincinnati. We're recording right now. It's like one. They'll meet now in an hour. You know, like what's the difference? They'll just do the walkthrough in the ballroom here at the hotel in Cincinnati instead of doing it in the team facility. So I don't know. Do you think it's going to affect them? I really don't.
The only thing I'm worried about is just turnaround and recovery. And that's really what I'm more concerned with, I guess, than just pure, you know, preparation. I think that they can handle that. You know, seeing yesterday's injury report, like these are kind of, and McDaniel explained this, these are kind of, I don't know what the right term for it is. I guess predictors of what it would have been if they really practiced. And so like Tua, for example, would have been limited yesterday in practice. Right. Teron Armstead wouldn't have participated, but he didn't participate last week. And I think that's kind of more the concern I have is like guys like Armstead, guys like Xavier Howard, who have kind of been banged up as it is, and they've had a full week to recover. What is the turnaround? Like, is that enough time for them to turn around and truly get ready and geared up for the game? And then of course too is the biggest question, because he seems like he's dealing with a whole hell of a lot of stuff. He's dealing with the back injury, he's dealing with the ankle. Obviously you have this investigation going into his head with the concussion protocol. But hearing him yesterday, the only thing that he really seemed bothered by was the back, but it's the most severe thing because he says it affects the way that he throws and that it was a pretty hard game for him to get through. So you know, I kind of threw out there, Solana, I'm curious about your thoughts about this yesterday, is as much as I love the sexy matchup between Tua and Joe Burrow, because it's the draft showdown, Tua's kind of on this revenge tour. I'd love to stick it right in Ryan Fitzpatrick's face. And by the way, I see him doing his little damage control this week. I'm not buying it. But you're 3-0. You got two division wins, so essentially you have tie breaks right now. I don't know if it's the dumbest thing in the world if they just tell Tua, hey, sit this one out, and then we get extra rest going into the Jets game, because it's a tough ask as it is already. You just played this grueling game. He clearly was banged up and hurt by it pretty seriously. You know, so some people agree with this. Some people think I'm soft and an idiot for thinking this. I don't know. Where do you land on that? The idea if they almost maintenance program Tua?
Yeah, I mean, Tobin, come on. Man up. What are we doing here? It's the National Football League. I mean,
insane. What they do dude, there are so many people, just the bodies are falling by the wayside every week. And I'm just like, it's an extra game. You got a 3-0 start. Maybe sit my quarterback for 2 weeks until he has to play the Jets.
Yeah, I'm of the same mentality as you. You're up. I mean, this has been the better than ideal start to the season. You won the first three games, and now you're playing the team that barely lost the Super Bowl last year. And if you take away what they've done this year, if I would have told you they go into the season 3-0 and they lose Thursday Night Football because Tua is a little banged up, you would have taken that, right? Like, there's no doubt in my mind every Dolphins fan would have taken that. But I think he's going to play.
Like, I just want to say that. Hearing him speak yesterday, I don't think he's going to let them do that, because I think that sometimes you get these things with players. I think they want to beat narratives, and I think Tua definitely wants to kill the durability thing, just like he wants to kill the arm thing. Like, he wants to, you know, kind of burn it all to the ground and shut everybody up this year. I'm just saying, a responsible outsider, just saying, you know, that little voice in the back, what if you just set him for a week and it's responsible and then he's way better for the rest of the season? And it's probably like I get shouted down in a meeting room, like, man up, Buttercup.
So here's why I agree with you. I do think he's going to play, because he finished the game against Buffalo, and I think he already shut down the durability thing. If you're still questioning Tua's durability after his back was probably jello in that hit, and he comes back and he hits a 3rd and 22 to Jalen Waddle, which sets up the game-winning drive, you're out of your bleeping mind. Like, you don't know football if you're questioning durability and Tua Tagovailoa to this day. But, Tobin, here's the nickname I've gotten for myself. I had surgery. We've talked about it. I was on crutches. Yep. And here's the nickname that I've gotten here amongst the Dolphins, you know, media conglomerate that I travel with. One Stitch. That's what they're calling me. Kim Bo Camper coined me as One Stitch. I have Nat Moore going around here. I'm in the elevator with them. Hey, it's One Stitch. Look at that.
Wow. There's just hazing going on. Even in there, they just miss hazing so much.
they bullied me into not bringing my crutches on this trip because I am just rattled at being called one stitch. Bo Camper said, Solana, when I played, I was 10 years older than you. I tore my meniscus. I chopped it off. I played 48 hours later. You're 3 weeks post-op and you're traveling with a crutch. And
I'm pretty sure Bo Camper could do surgery by himself if he needed to. Just throw a little rubbing alcohol on it. He's good to go.
Yeah. So just to give you a little mindset of how these guys think, he's playing tomorrow. Like, we're out of our mind. The only thing that does concern me, to your point, I had the quote written down here. He was asked, which injury is more problematic? I'm reading from the Herald, and he said it's more the back, like you mentioned. And then he said it affects everything, having to twist, hand the ball off, having to toss the ball, having to throw the ball as well, obviously. So that is a little concerning. I'm with you. Like, if Tua wakes up tomorrow and he's just saying, guys, there's no way. I'm doing everything I can, but there's no way. I'm going to go and further aggravate this injury, which could then affect you against teams you have to beat, the Jets, the Vikings, right? Like, those are the teams you have to beat, mm-hmm. especially that little stretch at home when you have Houston, you have Cleveland, Sunday Night Football against the Steelers, all eyes will be on you. I would rather Tua be healthy for those games and not, you know, further jeopardize the future of this run that they're on right now by playing tomorrow on a short week. But I just don't, I think they don't have it in them. Yeah,
no, I don't. Look, I know you guys have beef, but even with my guy Leroy, like, he has just gotten his thumb bone fusion from a football injury, because his thumbs literally don't work from playing football. And his mentality was, I think I'm going to get them both done. I'm like, you can't not have thumbs. He goes, yeah, but it would cut the recovery time in half. I'm like, no, you're not. Like, I had to shout him down for that, because that's just the mentality. But like, it's crazy. You see, like, Jameis Winston's playing with a broken back. Justin Herbert with his pretty hair, he's out there. Like, is he going to get a rib injection? Like, they go through crazy things to go play this game. Teron Armstead's playing with basically one good foot right now. And I do think
it's barbaric.
It's barbaric. It is. And we love it so much. It's, I mean, like, because if he plays tomorrow, I'm going to be like, oh, so good. Him versus Burrow. I can't wait for this matchup. But I'm being greedy, because I know that this man does not feel good right now. And how can I expect him after that game, after 4 days of recovery, that he's basically supposed to go out there and perform? Because under the national television, he's not going to be given a break. He's going to be so scrutinized for this game.
Oh, and you know Fitzy's waiting.
He's waiting to pounce.
Waiting.
Licking his chops.
For Tua to come out, struggle a little, right, because he's a little injured, and then he'll pounce all over him. I mean, this guy's flipping back and forth, moving the goalposts on how he's covering Tua. Tobin, you want to hear a hot take, by the way? I haven't seen many people say this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they need Tua to win this game.
Really? Okay.
I don't think they need Tua to win this game.
You think Cincinnati's a fraud?
The biggest fraud. Bro, just preparing for this pod. I mean, what? They beat the Jets? Okay. 27-12. Burrow looked fine, but it's the Jets. Like, he got outplayed by Cooper Rush 2 weeks ago. Like, are we forgetting about that? They lost to the Steelers, who lost to the Patriots. Like, the Bengals, I'm not saying they're trash. I'm not saying they're frauds this year. Certain teams start out slow, but they haven't figured it out. And because, you know, they put up a couple points, 27 on the Jets, mm-hmm. all of a sudden, we're going to panic? I mean, Burrow, as you say, Burrow is, I think, tied for the most sacked quarterback in the NFL. And if you haven't noticed, the Dolphins are really good at getting to the quarterback.
Right. And he's not Josh Allen, where, like, he's not that kind of big where you cannot bring him down. Like, he gets his ass kicked during games.
I do feel comfortable. I'm not saying I don't want Tua to play. We both agree. We want him to play selfishly. And we both think he's going to play, because that's the way these guys are built. Mm-hmm. But you're telling me that Dolphins can't go in on Thursday Night Football, dominate a game with their defense, and beat this Bengals team with Teddy Bridgewater being a game manager?
Right.
And
I was going to ask you about that. Here's the thing, though. We'll get to it, because I do want to finish on the Burrow thing. But the thing that I think you're right about with him is, he is definitely he is a guy who gets sacked a lot. He's also a guy like Tua who likes to extend plays, so he leaves himself susceptible to that. But I think where him and Tua kind of differ is, you know, this guy is not exactly a caretaker of the football. Like he can be prone to those picks of trying to make things happen too. Like, and I think for that, you know, you have a ball hawking defense, a defense that gets after the quarterback, and an offensive line that was supposedly revamped, but seems like the struggles have continued. Yeah, they have absolutely dynamic weapons. I mean, as dynamic in the league, you probably put them in the Dolphins. You're talking about some of the best two receiving cores maybe in the league together coming up on Thursday night. But yeah, I think that they have definitely shown some vulnerabilities that the Dolphins can take advantage of.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think anybody is afraid of their weapons. I mean, like obviously Jamar Chase is a stud. Boyd had a really good game against the Jets. He had 4 receptions, 105 yards. And then Higgins kind of had his best game of the season, 5 receptions, 93 yards. Like they're good, those weapons, but
no, they're great. I mean, they're great weapons. I know as much as I'll take a dump on anybody, but those weapons are insanely good. They're insane, dude.
Right.
That is a fleet. Now I will say the argument for the Dolphins, like the Dolphins are just like pure speed. It's just like, it's so unbearable to cover. We have seen this now 3 straight weeks where you're not going to get these guys held down for an entire game. It's impossible.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just riding this high where, like, Kader Kahou's playing out of his mind. Xavien Howard, and he's going to be able to neutralize Jamar Chase. And then, you know, Nick Needham will do the Nick Needham thing where he'll play a really good to above, you know, great game. I was going to say above average, like just an above average great game. Yeah, like, I'm just riding this high where I'm unable to I guess, approach this rationally because, man, like, we just beat the Bills. You know what I mean, Tobin? Like, I guess I'm being blind. Thursday night football, I'm just not afraid of Cincinnati. And again, I could eat my words. Cincy can come out, have the best game of their season, and this could be one of those games that turns their season around. And the Dolphins are banged up, and it is what it is, right? You're on the road. You're really not supposed to win this game, but
you're not, but I'm not doing fine. The Bills fan thing. I'm not going to make excuses before the game starts. I just think that what the Dolphins have bought themselves, if they wanted to, is if there was with there being an extra game now in the season and this being the one on short rest and you took care of your business the first 3 weeks, if they wanted to do that, I would understand. You rarely get these NBA like opportunities where you're like, man, maybe we should just, you know, almost take a break on this one. Now, I think that with all we have said about this mentality of the sport, it ain't going to happen. But I do wonder now if it did happen, let's say it did happen, or let's just even say Tua can't go. Like he wakes up, the back's locked up tomorrow. You mentioned Teddy Bridgewater. I have not seen this man be good at football at any point this season. I have not seen him be good in the preseason. I did not see him look good in camp. I did not see him look good in the 2 passes that he had in this past game. I have seen Skylar Thompson look really, really good. And there's no film on him. And I feel like if Tua was not to play, I feel like they should start Skylar Thompson. If they were to go into this, and I know that sounds crazy. It's a primetime game. He has never taken a real NFL snap, but I don't think Teddy Bridgewater is any good anymore, dude. And I think that I know that's tough to hear because he's loved down here locally. He's a great dude. He's out there in the community. That's all great. But I haven't seen him look a single snap good at quarterback so far, either in practice. And I was at a lot of training camps this year. I did not see him look good in the preseason, and I did not see him look good in those 2 drives. And so I'm just saying if Tua Tagovailoa cannot play tomorrow, I think Teddy Bridgewater should remain the backup, and I think they should start Skylar's the limit.
Listen, Tobin, nobody has been on the Skylar train longer than I have. First of all, I'll start there. So mm-hmm. I love that you bring this up. And second of all, if there was a coach that had, as Tyreek Hill would say, the cocojones to do something like this. Start a quarterback when you have a proven backup in the NFL, regardless of how that one series looked. Because let's be real, that was a bad spot for Teddy Bridgewater to come in. So,
in fairness, that's what he's there for. Like, that's what Teddy Bridgewater is there for. And I just don't know, dude. I just don't think that. Teddy just looks washed to me. Like, I think that's just what it is. Like, he's a guy who's been through a lot of injuries in his career. And I don't know. I just haven't seen a guy look very good at football this year.
I'm with you, though. But 99 coaches out of 100 would do what? They'd play it safe. They'd start the proven backup, and they'd go into Thursday Night Football again if Tua can't go, with the guy who has NFL snaps and has shown you throughout the course of his career he can win you this type of game. I'm not saying he always will, but he can win you this type of game when the other option is, like you mentioned, a guy who put together a nice highlight reel in the preseason.
It was so good, though. That, dude, it was enough to win him a roster spot, though.
But, Tobin, if there's one guy who has the cojones to do it.
A big old wheelbarrow.
And not tell anybody until 8:15 tomorrow, it's our guy McCoachin.
I'm with you, man. We'll take a quick break here on the Porpoise Pod. Roll on, give some final thoughts on Thursday night's matchup. Porpoise Pod swims on after this.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Porpoise Pod swimming on here, getting ready for a little Thursday night football. Dolphins and Bengals. We will bring you a recap episode tomorrow. I will probably be flying solo on that because Solano will be in the air. He'll be on that Dolphins bird on his way home, hopefully flying in safe because the weather is crazy out there for all the South Floridians. If you're not in South Florida, if you're one of our National Dolphins listeners, consider yourself lucky because it's wild times down here right now. But as we wind on down, now this is an interesting matchup here, Solana, between Tua Tagovailoa and Joe Burrow. Because, you know, this guy, he's sitting here and he's like, you know, reminiscing a little bit about his, you know, the Burrow Bowl when he's like out here and he's like, oh, I watched Dolphins versus Bengals. That was basically where I was going to go. You know, very full of himself. You know, there's Joe Cool. He wears the fur coat and, you know, it's a bit much so far, if I may say.
What's up with Burrow, by the way? Like, they asked him after they started 0-2 about, you know, people criticizing him on social media. And his take was that he's deleted all apps off his phone.
Right.
Like the guy that tells you he's deleting his Instagram, just it's, you know, it's a look at me thing, right?
Definitely.
Hey, definitely. I'm deleting my Instagram. Just don't log on or delete it. Don't tell us. I'm not paying attention to that stuff.
You could definitely delete an app and still have it active. You don't have to delete your account. And that's a LeBron look at me move. Like LeBron always did the zero dark 30. And by the way, don't forget, he got caught like an ass cheeks back in the day when you could see other people's likes. Like that would be a feed thing. And there he was, old King James, when he was supposed to be zero dark 30. He was cheeks dark 30. Like he was there and he was like it. He's like, look, perfect booty. I think the account was perfect booty. Also, it's just hilarious that LeBron James is looking at that.
And then I saw a couple days ago because, you know, Thursday night football, Bengals are wearing all white, which, by the way, if we're going to give them props on anything, the wide receivers, which I tried to, you know, to poo-poo them, but their white Bengals helmet is nice. Yeah,
it's pretty sick. I do like them. I'm jealous. Yeah. I like the Bengals uniforms in general, but that's a cool idea. Like sometimes you go, people reach on these alternate uniforms. I think those are going to look pretty sick.
The Dolphins are wearing all aqua, I'm pretty sure, which I'm looking forward to. But Burrow was asked about this, right? About the jerseys. Mm-hmm. He's a young guy, Tobin. And his answer was, we could play in garbage bags. I don't care. And just, you know, when did Joe Burrow become Aaron Rodgers? You know what I mean? Like all of a sudden he's too cool for school guy. He doesn't want to have any fun. He's off social media. He doesn't like uniforms. Like it's Thursday night football, and you have the best, arguably the best jerseys in the NFL, other than the Dolphins throwbacks. Like give us something, Joe Burrow. Give us something. And Tobin, I'm doing something a little special for you. I'm working behind the scenes here, producing for you behind the scenes.
Really?
So you've kind of coined this burro thing, this Joe Burro thing in Miami. And I've already started peppering Jimmy Cephalo and Joe Rose, you know, very nonchalantly, just doing the guys, big matchup, 2-1 Joe Burro. And I am praying I do it enough where it'll slip out. It'll slip out on the broadcast at least
once.
It'll
subconsciously leak through. I don't think that's going to work with Joe and Jimmy, dude, the way it does where you guys do it with Don Bailey. I think, like, I don't feel like they're going to play the game.
I'm just saying.
You're doing subliminal. It's like through osmosis. Like, you're just hoping enough times it gets through Cephalo's head. He can just say, all right, and there's the pass from Joe Burro.
Joe Rose, his room is literally next to me, and there's like one of these connector doors. It's locked on the other side, but I will all night just be whispering, Joe Burro, Joe Burro, all night. And I'm telling you, if we get a burro tomorrow, you are welcome. You are welcome.
You have to send me that immediately, and I need to just listen to that over and over and over again. I would love that. But yeah, man, like, look, as much as I'm talking with the I'd get if the Dolphins are extra cautious with Tua, God, I love this matchup. Like, the idea of it, this is juicy. It is national TV. It writes itself the next day because, look, if Tua does get this win and the Dolphins do get this win, he's always going to be a storyline. You know, I see a lot of these power rankings that came out this week from the pundits, and nobody wants to put the Dolphins above the Bills. A lot of cowards out there, except RG3. Shout out to him. RG3's got the guts. He's saying they're the best team in the NFL.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody else is like, oh, you know, they bought into the Bills belly aching, which, I mean, I must have missed the memo where the Bills got to have the benefit of the doubt. I mean, that's kind of crazy, right? Like, everybody's sitting here and we're just buying the Bills BS. Where are their championships? This is not Patrick Mahomes.
It is wild, right? Where they kind of crowned themselves, we talked about it, champions, and the entire media is just running with, well, they're the Bills. They'll be fine. And it's like, hey, hold on a second. Like, what have they done? What, they've made the playoffs a couple years? Yeah, sorry they have to go through Patrick Mahomes. That's the way it works. At least the Bengals beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. They got over that hump. Like, I'm more willing to give the Bengals the benefit of the doubt. Starting slow, they'll figure things out down the way. And the Bills, who have never been able to get over that hump.
It's weird to me, dude. I don't understand where that comes from. Where they're just allowed to go and get the benefit of the doubt. But we've seen a ton of it. That's definitely been the case going forward. With this, this is one thing that is interesting for the standpoint of, we did see a game this past week where the Dolphins defense played a lot of snaps. So how important do you think it is that this be the game really where the running game breaks out a little bit and controls the ball a little bit more? Because, you know, this Dolphins defense so far has definitely showed themselves to be great at getting pressure, great at coming up with the key turnover. But they are a little bit bend don't break. They will let drives go long. And so how important do you think it is that the Dolphins go about this and get maybe a more impressive game from Mostert or Edmonds or somebody just to keep these drives going a little bit? Cause we still really haven't seen that run game be probably what we thought it would be. There's still a lot of the same struggles from last year, even though I think they're more capable in some certain key spots. We haven't had those drives that have just kept going and going and going.
Yeah, I mean, other than when you think of the run game, other than late in that Ravens game to set up the game-winning touchdown pass to Waddle, I think it was Edmonds who had the big run to put them into the red zone. Other than that, like, you can't really point to another influential run this season, right? Like, something that really mattered. I think you're right. I think they've been better than we've seen in the past. But, like, when you think of guys like Kalen Ballage, you know, like, you're setting the bar real low there. Right. To overcome it. But isn't it weird, Tobin? Like, to me, it's been one of the weirdest parts of this season, other than starting 3-0, other than taking out Belichick, Harbaugh, and McDermott and beating the Bills in the way that they did it by having a third less plays in the game. It's been kind of the lack of run game. And we all kind of thought McDaniel was going to come in here, and that was going to be, I don't want to say the key to the offense, but a focal point, certainly.
Well, and we get to that point too, where it hasn't been. And then the thing you think to that, you know, we're all laughing about it right now, which you should. A dude gets a football punted into his ass. That's funny, especially when you win. But what was a little bit concerning about it is you're up against that spot where you are at the goal line and you really didn't feel like you got any push. And they've had a couple of situations. I think Ingold has shown an ability on those direct snaps to kind of push the line a little bit. But when you're in those spots of, like, you know, on the goal line, backed up like that, you really do need a couple runs to give Tua some breathing room. And he's also not the most physically imposing guy to push the line himself. In fact, that's where apparently the ankle injury came from, was on a QB keeper. So I think that's what I find concerning, is like, if they really do need to push, even Zonk was laughing about this. He's like, a pitiful blind push, even if it was a great win. And, you know, I think people will look at that and say, oh, enough, just give the ball to Waddle and Tyreek. But I do find it a little concerning that we're in this spot now where if the Dolphins truly need a couple of yards, do you feel good? I feel better almost at the Dolphins in 3rd and 22 than I do at 3rd and 2.
And what's been able to mask their, I don't want to say inability to convert on 3rd down, because it hasn't been bad, but Tobin, we're seeing a lot of what we've seen over the past couple of years, those 3rd and 1s, 3rd and 2s, and they don't get it. And no. What's been masking that issue is that the Dolphins on 1st and 10 had been one of the more efficient offenses, not only being able to pick up the first 7 or 8 yards, but even I should have written it down, a chart where the Dolphins are at the top of the league in converting on 1st and 10, converting a 1st down, which is insane. Like, that's something we've never seen before. The same way we've never seen them convert 3rd and longs. It just didn't happen. You'd run a draw play with Adam Gase. So it's a lot of new optics we're seeing here with this offense, where it's almost hard to fathom that it's a Miami Dolphins offense that's converting these plays. But I'm with you, man. Like, to me, it's less about the yardage at the end of the game, and it's more about key runs in certain situations of the game. It's 3rd and 2. You have to be able to extend those drives. You just have to, because if not, you're killing your defense. Saw it in the second half against the Patriots. I know that was 3 games ago, but there were a lot of situations where the Dolphins, if they were able to just get those extra 2-3 yards, it would have set them up or set their defense, let their defense rest and keep those drives going.
Yeah, because the Dolphins defense isn't going to change its identity. They are going to be who they are. They are going to be, I think, a team that does let drives go a little bit longer, because they do like to take those home run cuts. They do like to send blitzes, and any decent quarterback, and they faced a lot of them early on between Lamar, Josh, and now Boothrow, is going to, you know, can take advantage of those blitzes at certain times. And I think that keeps those drives going and keeps them out there. Now, the conditions won't be as hellacious, certainly, with playing in 50-degree football weather or 45-degree weather, but it is a quick turnaround, you know, and so you don't, and we're in week 4, so you don't want to keep going to this situation where it's like, by the time we get to the second half of the season, these guys are completely toast. So I do think it's an important thing. You know, I think that right now this is masked because, you know, the Dolphins and Tua and the receivers have shown, hey, you really can put us in any spot and we'll come through with the home run ball when we need to, which is great. I don't think people expected that. I think people probably thought the opposite, that this was going to be Mike McDaniel coming in here, scheming a way to get a run game going, a lot of yak, a lot of spread the football. And that's been the case certainly in the passing game with the short passes, but that run game hasn't gotten going yet. Thankfully, this the Dolphins' big playability, I think, has come along a lot faster than people thought it would.
Yeah, and their I guess, chemistry between Tua and Tyreek, and then their ability to just get Waddle into open spaces. Like, man, I wasn't expecting it to look this good this quickly. And I guess a lot of the running game, it also, it's less, how can I put it? It's less concerning when you can just throw the ball to Tyreek Hill on 1st and 10.
True. Yeah.
And it's fine. You know, that works too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And especially, like, you look back at the Ravens game where they targeted Waddle 19 times. I'm cool with that. Like, if we want to, we don't, you know, as you know, McDaniel's genius move can be, I'm just going to give my fastest guys the football all the time.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that. I do think that this is something that may have to get established. By the way, before we get out of here, did you see Mike McDaniel, or did you hear Mike McDaniel say in his press conference how Tua just called him up out of the blue at 10:45 at night? adorable, you know, like, and he's just like, I'm just checking on you. And that's what the back end goes. I just want to know how you're doing. What a guy, you know, like this Tua just calling and checking on his coach. You know, that was never, you think he ever tried that with Flores and it just got sent to voicemail?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Flo saw it was Tua, sent it to voicemail and would text him. You good? ? Like everything okay?
Oh, I'll get that from, dude, I'll get that from, I'll get that from our boss, Len, all the time. Like, I'll text him and he'll just be like on a call. I'm like, all right, fine. You know, just send me the voicemail. I don't need you to send the follow-up text, and then he'll never call me back.
He's also like, if you call him two times in a row, I don't know if you ever tried this with our boss. If you call him twice in a row and he didn't answer, he'll call you frantic. Everything okay? You called me twice in a row. Like, yeah, just text me. You're on the other line. It's okay. Like, I wouldn't have called you twice in a row. I thought you missed the call.
Maybe I will try that move. I haven't tried that move yet, but that's some good insight from you. All right, Solana, listen, enjoy. I'm sorry you're stuck in Ohio, but enjoy the game. We will talk to you later on in the week. And, man, I'm not ruling out 4-0, man. Why? Like, this is after the two wins they just had. I find this to be lesser competition, even though they were in the Super Bowl last year. They definitely are going through their struggles. And if this team remains undefeated, that's it just seems like the crazy ride's going to get even nuttier down here.
If they go in 4-0, Tobin, 4-0, playoffs are like it's not even a question anymore, right? I mean,
that'd be some kind of collapse if they weren't able to do that, especially with the schedule that's coming up.
Right.
That'd be pretty wild. I think they'll definitely be in a week in there where NFL happens and something dumb happens. It'll probably be like the Texans week or something like that. But but no, like if you start off 4-0 for what everybody was talking about, this being one of the most hellacious gauntlets that people had to go through. I mean, dude, yeah, you're sitting real pretty if you come out of this with a W. And yeah. I can't wait to rub it in Ryan Fitzpatrick's stupid bearded face. I really can't.
Yeah, he can't eat Skyline Chili, right? It's just all gonna stick there.
He probably shows up there, drinks it through a straw or something. You know, look at me, ooh, show pony. Hate that guy so much.
All right,
man. Enjoy the trip. Safe travels. And Porpoise Pod will be back with a game recap after Thursday night football. We love you guys.